The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Best Ball Mania is live with $15 million in prizes. Sign up with promo code HGP to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code HGP. We're also brought to you by Royal Retros. Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, and sweatshirts from all the old school teams that you love. Use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's SGPN at RoyalRetros.com.
Welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. My name is Talon Jenkins. Joined with our hosts, we got Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. Gentlemen, how the hell are we doing tonight?
I'm doing good. Just had a happy hour, had some margaritas, had some tacos, had some chips and salsa. So I'm feeling good here. Got some hockey going on. My team's not involved, so no stress either way. So I'm doing good here in Philadelphia.
Oh, I had a stressful day. Bayern Munich played today against Real Madrid in Madrid. Got a go-ahead goal about 70 minutes into the game, into the match, excuse me, and then just fucking blew it. 10 minutes left, two quick goals for Madrid, and that was done. But it's actually been a good tournament in the Champions League. Like, soccer last year was terrible. I lost fucking everything. But this year, you know, Bayer Leverkusen, that was my only bet in the Bundesliga to win it at 50-1. That was awesome. I got Dortmund at 50-1. They made it. They beat PSG as big underdogs on the road in Paris. So knock them out, and I also have some Real Madrid parlayed with, you know, some Scheffler and Rangers President's Trophy bets from a while back. It's looking pretty good. Hopefully Dortmund win, get that 51 ticket home. But I would really want Bayern in there because that would have been massive. But after that, went to the park. It's a beautiful day out here. Hang out my duck and geese friends and fucking ready to get going. Just watched the Bruins dominate the Panthers yet again the first period. Bruins are they're feeling themselves, and the Panthers got to get fucking going. I don't know what's going on. They're doing, I guess we can get into this later, but from early opinions, like the Bruins are doing to the Panthers what I expected the Bruins to do more to the Leafs. Like they're turning them over. They're making the most out of their defensive frailties. Like Ekblad was a fucking bum in the first game. Montero made a donkey pass that led to the goal for the Bruins in this one. So yeah, Bruins are deadly, and we'll see how far they can go. Like, Swayman is unreal, but yeah, fucking awesome day so far. How you doing, Talon? How you holding up?
Yeah, thanks for reminding me that. I really appreciate just to remember how dominant the Bruins are this postseason. That's great. I didn't know, so at least it's good now that I know. I appreciate that. I'm doing as okay as I can. I'm just sitting here. It's okay. It's okay, because you know what? There's a team right now that's winning 3-0 in their first ever playoff game, okay? And that is the Toronto Women's PWHL team. We're sitting here. We're all we got, baby. Let's go. These fine women representing our beautiful city of Toronto are going to get the job done. They're currently beating the wheels off of Minnesota 3-0 after the first period. So let's get it done, ladies. Keep on kicking some ass here. You know, Lord knows the city needs it with how atrocious every other one of our sports team is right now, with the exception of TFC. TFC is doing pretty well, too. So if you're into MLS, keep that in mind. Other than I'm doing good, I got this jersey. It's pretty shitty. It was between this one or my Chad Kelly jersey, and my Chad Kelly jersey might have to be put away for a little bit for the next couple months or so. We'll see how that one plays out, but I'm going to stick with representing the Toronto PWHL team for now.
Well, your Toronto Blue Jays took down my Philadelphia Phillies today, is ending the Phillies' 7-game winning streak. So that was a downer for you. Do know? I'm shocked that you.
I had $100 on the Phillies at -175. So yeah, I know. All right, so the Blue Jays breaking my hearts again.
Well, if you want winning,
didn't the Phillies win like 12-0 last night though?
Like 10-1 or something. Yeah, 10-1.
Yeah. If you want some more MLB bets, check out the MLB Gambling Podcast. Those guys doing a great job over there on that show.
Always, of course. I know it's been a while. It's good to be back, boys. Obviously, you know, it's been a while. It's been a dark time for me. Maybe we'll touch on that a little later in the show here. We'll see how that plays out. I don't know. What are we doing here? Do we got anything to do? What are we talking about? What's going on?
How's Tommy Toronto holding up? How was the loose moose? Have you heard from him?
Is he still alive? Honestly, I haven't seen or heard from him nor Tammy Toronto since game seven. So there might be like an APV out or some shit later. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But I can tell you when we left that night, there was nobody in fine form, and it got ugly for a lot of us there, I will say. I will say, though, maybe this is something we can talk about. My boy Mystic Dan came through for me.
Shouted you up for that. Yeah. I shouted you up for that.
Thank you. 20-1 Mystic Dan at Kentucky Derby. He came through, so that was a nice ticket. I had $50 on him, walked home with $1,000. Also had him to show. So, and I don't want to pump my own tires here, but that is three of the past 4 years I fucking hit the Kentucky Derby. I had Medina Spirit 4 years ago before he got caught doping, so they paid out anyways. Doesn't matter. I didn't have Rich Strike, because let's face it, if you bet Rich Strike at 60-1 as a fill-in horse the year he won, the only reason you did that is because he's the horse with the biggest odds. You had no idea what you were doing, so didn't have that. I had Mage last year, so that came through for me, and then this year, a nice big hit, Kentucky Derby at Mystic Dan. I'm not going to lie, I was streaming that. So the Leafs game was at 8, Kentucky Derby was at 7. My reservation at the restaurant was at 7:30, so girlfriend and I are going downtown to meet fucking Tommy Toronto and Tammy Toronto, the Loose Moose, and we're taking the subway down. But we got to leave. We got to get there in time, right? So I'm sitting on the subway. I'm drinking a beer. I got my phone out. I'm streaming the Kentucky Derby on the subway. I'm going full Kramer, like beating my fucking leg and shit. Cheering on this horse on the subway in front of everybody. I start cheering, freaking out when he wins because he's down. It's like, it was like by nose. Three horses wide. It was absolutely insane. You know, Jess is looking at me like, what can you, like, dude, people are looking at you. I'm like, I don't give a fuck, dude. 20-1 pony. Let's goddamn go. So that was absolutely awesome. And it was, and then I went and we were all fired up. We were in a good mood for the Leafs game. We had a great time. And then it was just nothing short of heartbreak, I suppose. But for a while there, I was riding pretty high that night. It was a good time.
Yeah, you cut the golden rail, and nobody else was on that guy. Like, I listened to a lot of stuff, a lot of tipsters, but you were the only one who recommended the Mystic Dan there in the shitty conditions, I guess, right? Because he runs better in the mud. Well,
he does good with fucking, what do they call it? It's like when the mud comes up and hits the horse.
Sloppy? He's a slopper.
His mother was a mudder, you know? He's okay. He's good. So he's good in the slide. He can take a little beating like that. Boy, did he ever come through for me. That was wild. And I was pumped too, because I had nothing on fucking that Sierra horse. I would have been fucked if that thing had a won. So, hell yeah.
I lost everything, as I said in the last show. So, and Catching Freedom, of course, finishes fourth.
Yeah, dude, why would you even touch that horse? Are you kidding me?
You bet him the show too.
Yeah, the show, but come on. What are we doing here? Let's go. I don't know.
He got caught up in the middle of the pack. That was the problem. Like,
that's because it's a 20 horse race, right? So this is what happens. You know, if you get caught out the gate, if you get pinched off, there's so many intangibles and variables that happen in this race, Kentucky Derby, compared to every other horse race imaginable. So it's wild. But I've been back on the ponies. I've been HBI bet. I've been fucking betting ponies. You can stream. The other night I was up to like 5 a.m. and I was betting the Australian ponies. It was awesome, dude. Nice. You get the streams from the racetracks. It was pretty cool. So back in on the horse races. Let's go. Shout out Woodman.
I saw Book It with Trent, who's somehow now a popular character being shared in our Discord. I've heard about him more now than I heard before in the rest of my life. I saw he picked 15 horses out of the 20, and none of them were Mystic Dan. So he lost everything. So that goes with his reputation there.
Maybe if he was down with a little bit of a rum one, he would have had a little better going. But I mean, that just is what it is, you know. So. Yeah.
Orcs don't ride horses, though, so what do we know?
No, we do not. We got
Panthers. Panthers just tied it up, so let's go there.
Cats.
Nice tip.
Mm-hmm. All right, do we have any ads or anything?
Oh, of course we do. Of course we do. Make sure you check out our friends at Underdog Fantasy. They'll make it a lot more interesting here. It's the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like goals, assists, shots on goal, and more. You're going up to 100 times your money mixing across different sports. It's available in 30-plus states, including Florida, where they just launched Champions, their player-versus-player format. So sign up with promo code HGP to claim your special pick, plus first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code HGP.
All right. Okay, guys, we got let's get right into this. We got two games set here for tomorrow, which is May the 9th. Tomorrow is Thursday. Is that right? Thursday? Mm-hmm. Okay, tomorrow is Thursday, May the 9th. Two games slate here. Ready to rock and roll or what?
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's dive right into this. First game of the docket, we have the New York Rangers against the Carolina Hurricanes. Game itself is a Carolina here. New York on the money line, sitting at plus 142. Hurricanes on the money line, minus 170. Over-under is at 5.5. Overpaying off minus 110. The under, minus 110 as well. I'll jump into this one here, dude. Obviously, the Rangers are up in the series 2-0. Big home wins. Been massive double overtime win last night. That was a sweet game. I didn't get to watch all of it, but it was pretty cool from what I saw. Dude, Igor Shesterkin in the playoffs is absolutely unreal. I saw a stat today that like he has like 28 consecutive playoff games where he hasn't allowed more than 3 goals against or something like that. It's the second most of all time next to Jonathan Quick. So that's pretty crazy. And Jonathan Quick's his backup too. So that's kind of a little fun little tidbit there. But this guy's an absolute stud. We saw in overtime just how valuable he was for this team. He made like 50 saves last night. Some of them 10 Bell saves. The Canes got to win at home, right? Like, let's face it. Their home record all year has been so fucking good. But I can't bet against this Rangers team, man. If you're going to give me them a plus 142, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to take that, man. I could see them going up 3-0 in the series. And I'm sure you guys have made the joke already, but maybe another close sweep here in Carolina or something. As far as over-under in this game at the 5.5 marker, there is a lot of offense going on with this team. This New York power play is sick. Did you see that goal they scored? It was like 5 passes in like 7 seconds or something like that on the power play. That was absolutely sweet. I'm going to lean a little bit towards the over here. I think we're going to see like maybe like a 4-2 final. Empty net could come into play or something like that. Give me the Canes.
Yeah, Carolina has to win this, but -170.
Rangers, sorry.
-170 is just way too steep. Rangers plus 142, given how they've, you know, been outplayed, but still finding ways to win due to their power play, special teams, goaltending. That's what matters in the playoffs. Yeah, love the over 5.5, minus 110. There were 12 power plays last game, 7 in game 1. I imagine there'd be a similar amount in game 3 here, but I don't know. I did not like the officiating whatsoever in this game. I know Joel's been complaining about the diving. There has been a lot of that. I didn't like the cross-check call in the second overtime. I thought that was weak. But, you know, and even like the roughing on Gensel when he punched Fox after he punched him in the face, that should have been both of them. A lot of trippings there in the third period, which some of which were valid for against the Canes. But just the officiating in this series is just way too wide open. And then they want to tighten it up in the overtime, but they don't. So it's really weird. So for betting-wise, over 5.5, minus 110. Over 1.5 power play goals, probably around plus 130. I'll take that. Mika Zibanejad power play point. He's been great. But yeah, I think the Canes will win. Minus 170 is too much, so I'm just betting the over.
Thanks, Pops.
Yeah, he says nice jersey towel. Right. I think that complaining about officiating is the lowest form of sports talk radio, but in this case, I think that it's merited. What Ryan was saying is true. It's not good officiating. They are like the Robert Brindamore complained about the officiating, and they got every freaking call in the second game that was borderline, and did not like that. Well, I guess the call that led to the goal for the Rangers in double overtime was borderline, and they got that one, and then they made it count. But that's the thing about the Rangers right now. They're more clutch team. Like we talked about the Hurricanes not being clutch in the playoffs. They're proving it again. They're 0-6 now in the last 6 games, went to double overtime. Rangers aren't better. They were 0-5 going into this one, but now they're 1-5, so they are at least a little bit more clutch, and they do have more clutch players, I think. The Hurricanes they're not the kind of team that can get it done in the playoffs, so that's why I'm continuing to back the Rangers here. Minus 170, I think, is too high. Give me the Rangers all day long, plus 142. Yeah, the Hurricanes should be favored to win. They're going to be desperate to win this one, but I don't think the gap between these teams should be this large, especially in the playoffs where the Hurricanes have been known to choke, so I like the Rangers. I like the over 5.5 for, let's get some more penalties. Like, it's been a very feisty series. Like, I hate the diving in this series, but in terms of physicality, there's been a lot of that too. So that's been fun to watch. And yeah, two lethal power plays. The Hurricanes, not so much in this series. It tends to fall apart in the playoffs, as I've said. But the Rangers one is definitely clicking. So over 5.5, give me the Rangers. Let's go Rangers to win the series.
How about Jacob Trouba turning into a fucking ICBM and just launching himself at fucking Netcast?
Yeah.
That was wild. Neck ass.
So the Rangers penalty kill has allowed two power play goals in, I'm seeing, 27 chances in the playoffs, both in the same game to the Capitals. So 2 for 27, and they ended the season on a 14 for 14 stretch. So that's what, 39 for 41 since April 7th, like over a month now. That's just their penalty kill is insane, and perhaps even deserves more credit than their power play.
This team is stacked, dude. I'm sorry. You look at it, and defensively, kind of underrated, too. Like, it's more than just Adam Fox back there, man. Their system plays fantastic. A lot of that stems from coaching, too. So you got to give credit where credit's due. Just all throughout the lineup, offensive depth. We've seen that with the lines they've been rolling. They have the top star talent. They have the bottom six talent. Defensively, they're fine. Goaltending's been just incredible, man. Like, this Rangers team, they did it right, and just like in like retrospective, the way that they kind of did their rebuild to, I guess, more of a retool, if you will, it should be the blueprint for teams going forward that are looking to do something like that. So hell yeah. Shout out to New York, man. They're the real deal for sure. I think we all said that going into the playoffs anyways. So
yeah, special teams has been the story of the playoffs so far. Like the teams with the elite power plays getting it done, because 5-5, it's been very even. So you get those chances, you got to bury them. And so far the Rangers haven't, the Hurricanes haven't. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't believe in the Rangers going into the playoffs. I'm starting to believe. I mean, they're the Stanley Cup favorites right now because they're up 2-0, so that's not enough value to take them at. But, I mean, if they get past the Canes, I can't count them out against anybody.
I can.
Who are you counting out?
I mean, I prefer Florida against the Rangers, but even Boston, I think I would take the Bruins against the Rangers. I don't love the Rangers. Yeah, okay, they're beating the Hurricanes, but like I said, the Hurricanes are notorious chokers. I'm not giving the Rangers too much credit for beating the Capitals and the team that always chokes in the playoffs. That's all I'm saying.
They haven't lost a game yet in the playoffs.
True, but look who they played. Like the Capitals, who are like worse than the teams that can make the playoffs.
That's fair. I don't know. We'll see. That's good, though. All right, as we move down to 9:30 p.m. time slot here, we have the Colorado Avalanche against the Dallas Stars. Hell of a game last night. Obviously, Colorado's up in the series 1-0 here. Avs on the money line at plus 110. Stars on the money line at minus 130. Game is in Dallas. Over-under sitting at 6.5. Overpaying off minus 102. The under minus 118. Jolie, just when you think they're out, they keep pulling me back in. Hey, what do you think? What's going on with your Avs here? You back in? Do you believe in this team at least, or what?
I'm starting to see the same signs, the same stuff that was happening 2 years ago is starting to manifest again. Like, Georgiev is playing well. Like game one, I was like, oh, fuck, we're done. 7 goals against the Jets on a limited number of shots. But no, he was fantastic in that overtime, especially like a sloppy start, of course, letting 3 goals straight. But he pulled himself together. He was great against the Jets after the first game. I'm an interesting situation here. I know I said before, like, well, who's the real fan? The one who can bet against his team while still being able to cheer for him. Well, I can't do that. I played a lot of Avalanche stuff before this game, knowing all the Stars bets I have. So, thankfully, I did that. I mean, I still got a lot more Stars than I do Avalanche, but enough so I can actually cheer for the Avalanche without just being destitute afterwards. So that's where I'm at. Kale McCarr, I bet him for Conn Smythe. Thankfully, he scored. McKinnon scored as well. Tied the game up in the third period there. But yeah, Stars, you know, other than Wyatt Johnson, they're not really creating much. Like he's everywhere. And
he's sick.
Oh, he's so good. I also bet him for Conn Smythe, the 25-1, finally, after losing game one. But he scored a goal, so it basically washes out. I think the Avalanche are legitimate. Price here, though, with the Stars, you know, just 2 days after that, they're playing a lot of hockey now, coming off that 7-game series, so they could be a little bit more tired. And the Avalanche got the rust out of the system, obviously did not come out strong for that one, but they found their game as the Stars tired down, and I could see that kind of thing happening again as the series goes longer. The Stars start wearing the brunt of that series with the Knights, where it was so physical and they're beaten up and all that. So yeah, the Avalanche absolutely should be favored to win the series now, winning a game at home or on the road. And yeah, for the game, I think it's pretty fairly priced, but I'd go with the over 6.5. I think we see more goals. Georgiev is always good for 2 or 3, and Ottinger, you know, he's good, but yeah, the Avalanche, they just have so much firepower, like one of the best offenses in the league. So I think that they can penetrate. Like I said before in the last show, that DeBoer has done a good job historically with the Knights, especially guarding against the Avalanche, but didn't really see that in the first game. So I think the Avalanche can keep attacking, keep penetrating. Like they actually have depth now. Like that was the weakness of the team, but the trade line just fixed that. Like Jakob Trenin, Brandon Duhaime, the fucking wild guy coming in, and Zach Parise off the golf course. And you know what? Yeah. And there is even rumors of Landeskog coming back and Drouin coming back as well. So yeah, there's a chance. There's a chance. So longer the series goes, the likelier they return to the lineup. So I like the Avalanche to get it done. But for this game, yeah, over 6.5 would be my only look. I think we could see a lot more scoring chances. And we can't really trust either goaltender. I know Ottinger was great in the last half of the series against the Knights, but he still has a couple leaky ones in him. And when you're just as talented as the Avalanche are, the top-end talent, they can score against any goalie. So over 6.5 would be my bet in this one.
Yeah, pretty similar to the first game for me. I think the Stars should win this game, and I think -130 is an okay price to take them at. It's just tough to bet against this Avalanche team right now. They went down 6-3 in game one against the Jets, and since then they've outscored the opposition 30-11. They've just been dominating the other team. As Joel said, they're getting their depth back. I saw Drouin might be back in a few games here. Miles Wood scoring, Sean Walker's playing the third pair. Like they have depth on offense and on defense, and Dallas is going to have to open things up if they want to beat this team. They can't just play low event hockey because, you know, at some point the star power of the Avalanche is going to take over. McKinnon, McCarr, Nuke, we saw all of them score. So, I mean, I can't fault anybody if they take the Avs here +110, taking them as an underdog, given the fact that they've won 5 straight and the Stars have been very lackluster overall in these playoffs. But I think, yeah, over 6.5 -102 would be my play here. I think the Avs are good for at least 4. They've scored 4 or more in every playoff game so far. Gorgiev's not exactly great in net, so he'll probably give up 3. So you have at least a 4-3 game there. So yeah, over 6.5 -102. But I do lean Dallas's way, or at least Dallas for the series at +170.
All right, I'm going to start with my total here, and I'm going to go against the grain a little bit. All right, I'm going to take the under 6.5 in this series just because of what we saw in that game last night. We saw Dallas go up early 3-0, and then they tried to just play conservative shutdown hockey. And if you've been listening to me talk for the past 3 years that we've been doing this show, that is my least favorite thing that any team can do. It doesn't matter what team it is. If you go up and you just try to play shutdown defense hockey, 9 times out of 10, you don't have a chance because you're not playing offense. You know how a team can't score on you? If the puck is 200 feet away from them in their own end, you keep pushing, you keep pressuring. And we saw Dallas essentially just stop doing that after the first period last night. Now, they came out strong in overtime. I think they're like the first 5 shots of the overtime period or something like that. So I understand. But by then, it was too little, too late. And you cannot try and play shutdown hockey against an offensive juggernaut with the depth that you guys are talking about that we have here in the Colorado Avalanche. You have to keep driving the puck, playing offensively, because every minute that you're in their end, cycling around, getting shots on net, whatever it might be, that's another minute that Colorado does not have the puck in your end. So to see that from Dallas, I was disappointed, man. I'm pretty high on this Dallas team. I have, you know, I'm not a big futures guy, but I have a couple Dallas futures when it comes to the conference. So I was a little let down by that. I was feeling top of the moon when I woke up this morning at 5 a.m. and I was like, oh shit, they lost. How the fuck does that happen? But yeah, so I, based off that, I think Dallas is going to learn their lesson here. And even if they do go up by a goal or two early, I think they're going to keep pushing. And what that does is it takes away opportunity for Colorado to score. So I'm going to lean towards the under 6.5. With that being said, man, I still think Colorado gets this game. You think Dallas should win at least one of the two at home here, but this Avalanche team is so goddamn good. And they're so fast, man. You watch these guys out there. They are so fast every time they have the puck and even without the puck too. And the fact that they can make decisions making at that pace, it's second to none, man. It really is. Like, Arturi Lehkonen, this guy is unbelievable. I don't know why more people don't talk about him as an absolute dog for this team. Every time I feel like something's happening on the ice in the offense, when it's like not the whole MacKinnon line and shit, it seems like this guy has a piece of the puzzle here. Like, this whole team, Parise's been a sick stud. I know he's been getting a couple minutes every now and then with the top line as well. It's just plug and place. You have the depth for this team, and it's so well, and the back end is sick. Kale McCarr is probably, like, arguably going to be the second best defenseman of all time, next to, like, only Bobby Orr. And even then, depending on who you are, some people might even make the case for it, understandably so, that he's going to beat Bobby Orr. Like, this guy is next level good. It's absolutely – dude, I'm sorry, but he is. He's that fucking good. And truth be told, Georgiev has – since that game won against Winnipeg, he's been playing some good hockey. He's been playing some good goaltending. A lot of the goals that have gone in on him, you can't fault him. It's like tips. That Suter goal last night, I know I was joking with Joel and shit, but like flutter from the fucking blue eyes screen tips. Like, what can you do about that? But ever since that first game against Winnipeg, the pucks that have been on net that he can see, for the most part, he's saving. And his rebound control has been pretty solid too, man. So it's like what Joel said, man. Like, they won a cup with fucking Darcy Kemper. I don't think you need an Iron Man in the back end. You just need a goalie that's not going to lose you games. And what we've seen since that first game against Winnipeg is that he is capable of doing that, you know? And I know that you guys get on him out there in Colorado, Forgiev and all this, but I think you might be a little surprised with where this guy takes you this year. So I think the Avs actually get it done and put Dallas up on the ropes here in this one, 2-0, and then give me the under.
Yeah, he runs hot and cold. So as long as he doesn't go cold again, we'll be all right. Because when he's slumping in bad. But when he's on point, that's why he got the contract, and he deserves to get the playing time. But at least now we have Justus Annunen in net. He's like sick for the whole Jet series. So at least there's a backup plan if Georgiev goes cold again. But yeah, another thing for the over, I like the over in this one, is it's that both teams are excellent at coming back from behind. Like we saw it again in the first game with the Avalanche storming back. The Stars have been doing that all season long. They go down 2-3 goals, they storm back. So that's why this is going to be a totally different series than the Knights-Stars one, where the Knights just tried to like win these games like 2-1, 3-2. This one's going to be, I think, a high-octane affair. So we'll see some goals, even with some good goaltending.
Yeah, this is a series where you live bet. Like, Stars went up 3-0. I mean, went up 2-0. I live bet the Avs plus 2.5, plus 1.5. I hit their money line eventually. That came through. But Talon bringing up Lehkonen reminded me something I wanted to say about another former Canadiens forward, Jesperi Kotkaniemi. He played very little in the double overtime game against the Rangers.
6 minutes or something like that?
He played like three shifts in overtime. He played 9 minutes. Stefan Nosen played 6:50. Stefan Nosen's on their power play. I understand you want to play your best guys in overtime, the crucial time, but like, at least you got to roll four lines somehow. You got to dress players that you trust in these double overtime games that you can at least throw out there once every 5 or 6 times in overtime to go out there. But yeah, they gave up a first round pick and a third round pick to sign him for the offer sheet, because fucking the Canadians offer sheeted Aho, and now it's biting them in the ass. So fuck them.
What did they do with that first and third round pick? Do you know, Montreal?
Who did they get?
Christian Dvorak for the first. Shit. Bad play. And then the third round, they drafted some guy that's never played an NHL game. So congratulations, Montreal. You did nothing. Well,
they only got a second for Lehkonen. I know he was a pending free agent, but like, he was a young player.
They also got Brandon Mayu because everyone else was too scared to draft him. And he's going to be a stud.
Joel like Tootsie Rolls. That's what it is. No, that's the other guy. That's the Boston guy. Joel likes pictures of Swedish women.
Tootsie Rolls. Yeah, that's right. That was the Bruins.
That was the Boston guy.
Miller. Michael Miller, I think.
Yeah, something Miller. Whatever. Yeah. Who knows? That's funny. Yeah, I know. This is a sweet series, though. This will be fun to watch. I don't know. Anything else?
I heard Friedman say that last night's Rangers-Hurricanes game was probably the best game of the playoffs, and I don't know if I disagree. I think that was great. Obviously, going double overtime helps it. It was a lot of back and forth. I mean, the Avs game, too, was great, but you don't get the East Coast bias of all the people out there watching it, because I'm sure a lot of people fell asleep before that game even started, really. Also, we have to bring up ESPN cutting away from the last minute of the third period in New York to go to Dallas. I was watching on my app, so I thought it was just like, okay, the app's fucking up, so I switched it. But no, I checked Twitter. It was like the whole thing. Not great. Not great, Bob.
Commentary crews were terrible. They had Hunter Ryan Singh. Oh. He does the Oilers broadcast. Do not like him at all. He's doing the fucking Rangers Hurricanes for Sportsnet. And then with the ESPN crew, they got AJ Molesko. No, he's great. He's great Punjabi, but he's not a great commentator in English. And then who's the guy for ESPN on that broadcast? You know the name?
I think it was Brian? Mike Monaco. I think
Mike Monaco. Yeah,
they have good. One he's good. ESPN has one good team. ESPN has one good announcing team. McDonough. So the Stanley Cup. I don't remember. I think McDonough is. Is Ferraro on ESPN? I think
Ferraro does between the benches. He does,
and then Kaplan. Kaplan's fine. She's not Leah Hextall, at least, or anyone like that. So she's fine there. Yeah. So that's their A team. That they'll be fine for the Stanley Cup, but leading up to that, the B game is going to be tough. Yeah.
Do you guys pour one out for Jack Edwards or what?
Hell yeah. Didn't miss that bitch.
Yeah. I saw he had some great calls in his final games there.
He's a true homer. Like the most people watching that, you know, actually Canada, all with all the Bruins games, they always put his broadcast on. So Canadians are very familiar with Jack Edwards.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah, but generally speaking, it's mostly the Bruins fans watching him and just cheering along with him. He's just a fan. And
as it should be. That's how it should be. On like local broadcast, you should have that, man. Like realistically. Yeah.
Unless it's the Leafs and then you get Chris Cuthbert on the national broadcast. And
nobody hates the Leafs more than Chris Cuthbert and Craig Simpson.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Are you kidding me? No. There's only two guys that should be doing Leaf games, all right? And that's Joe Bowen and Jim Ralph, all right? Everybody else,
radio guys.
They are the best. God. I'm going to post some of their calls into the Discord, like from the Nylander game-winning goal in game six, or the breakaway goal to make it 3-1. Joe Bowen's call on that was absolutely electric, man. And that's what this franchise is missing out on.
I heard that. That was good. Yeah,
it's only parlay slips allowed now on the Discord. Not to post any highlights. But quick Jack Edwards story. At the peak of when I was running Sons of Penn, the Flyers blog, we like tweeted something out about it, and he DM'd us like a bunch right here. Just like
was he chirping you?
No, he was kind of shitting on the Department of Player Safety and stuff. I checked the game events. That's awesome. Penalty called. Like so yeah, I've always had a respect for Jack Edwards since then. He calls it like it is. Yeah.
He smokes a lot of weed.
Who texted you?
Jack Edwards. I ran Sons of Penn, the Flyers blog, back in 2016.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Right on. Well, one more note. You mentioned the best games of the first round. Shout out to the Canucks Preds game four, like that comeback, 6 seconds left, Bresser to tire. Like, game wasn't great, but the drama of it was outstanding. So it deserves
the best games. Best game, without a doubt, was Winnipeg Colorado game one. That was unbelievable with the whiteout happening. Colorado had like 10 shots in the first like 4 minutes. That was my favorite so far. That was absolutely sick. That was a good way to kick it off. But it was a little bit of a lackluster first round, not including that, but that was sweet.
It was.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's been a
good second round so far. Great game so far.
Yeah, I don't think I've heard anyone hating on overtime yet here in the second round. So hopefully they don't try to find a way.
You? Overtime's the best. I don't care what anybody says. You can sleep when you're dead. Overtime is awesome.
Yeah, I had a mini rant about that a couple shows ago here with Ryan and I, where it was about Bob Cole. Like, Bob Cole would never complain about overtime, but you're hearing all these fucking media types whining about it. We got to find a way to get this done. Like, oh, thank God they scored. Like, I can go to sleep now.
Yeah.
I agree. All right, we got ads.
Oh, we do have a second group of ads here. We're sponsored by Royal Retros, looking to prove that you know ball or puck, I guess. What better way to showcase your old school fandom than with some old school gear from a classic team? Royal Retros has jerseys, t-shirts, hats, jackets, sweatshirts, and more from the vintage sports leagues and teams that you know and love. The Dirty Bird, the Orange Crush, or the Sack Exchange all make for sick jerseys for real fans. A bunch of hockey stuff in there. Got some cool jackets there. So make sure you check it out. And you can use promo code SGPN for 10% off your order today. That's code SGPN at royalretros.com to take 10% off today.
All right, man. I don't know what we're doing now. What are we going to talk about? We didn't really put a lot of prep into this show.
Any thoughts on DJ Smith there going to Ottawa? Any thoughts on
Travis Green, you mean?
Oh, Travis DJ Green,
Smith,
yeah.
He's out.
Smith, no, going back.
Yeah. Well, I saw a funny meme or a funny joke. It's, you know, this first time Travis Green's been behind a Sens bench since he got into a bench brawl with them when he was playing with the Leafs. It's the clip where Darcy Tucker goes to fight the whole bench in Ottawa, and Travis Green's on the Leaf. He comes in, he starts throwing bombs too, so that was kind of funny. I'll preface this. I'm all in on Travis Green. I think Travis Green's a really good coach. I know Joel might not agree with him based off his time in Vancouver. But with that being said, I think the players in Vancouver, when he was there, maybe they were a little too young. When you look at the likes of like a Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson, I know that the Sedins have been on record saying that when Travis Green was there, that was one of the most hardest training camps they've ever had, like physically, because this guy demands that your players be in shape. So I think for him stepping into an Ottawa team where, you know what, I know not a lot of these players like are, yes, they're still young, but they're not rookies anymore. Like, Timmy Stutzel's been in the league for a couple of years. Brady Tkachuk's been around the bush. Like, a lot of these guys on the back end, they've been in the organization for a while here. So maybe it's going to be a nice clash with the players that need to mature a little bit and the coaching that can coach players that are willing to kind of know that it's time to take that next step. So I don't think I worded that great, but I think this is going to be a good hire. I believe in Steve Staios. I think he's put a good team together. I'm a Craig Poulin guy. I know if you're a Leafs fan, you're probably shit on that, but I think Craig Poulin brings a lot of value and a lot of knowledge and experience to that front office as well here. I was actually listening to Staios on a podcast today, just talking about the Green hire and the overall mindset of the team. And the one thing that he wanted to emphasize the most is that Staios says he wants to do this the right way. You know, he's not just going to go and spend money for the sake of spending money, or he's not going to go and make trades at the deadline for the sake of making trades. And Sens fans might be put off from that a little bit because of their history of Eugene Melnyk, you know, not spending money. But I think it's a smart mindset to have. And I don't think this is going to change overnight. I got the impression, I guess, that he doesn't plan on this changing overnight. But like Staios said, he's going to do the right things for this team. He brought up a lot of it comes down to getting a save when you need it. So I think they're going to be looking to address that goaltending position. Obviously, Corpusello has not been an option. He is still signed to some term. So that's going to be a whole other can of worms. But just back to the Travis Green thing, man, I think this guy's a good coach. And I think he's going to get the best out of these players as long as these players are willing to give him 100% effort.
No, you're wrong. Actually, I do like the hire. I do like Travis Green. My guy, Thomas Drantz, Canucks talk, Canucks insider, is a fan of Travis Green. So I defer to him on stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm fine with that. Like, Travis Green is, to quote Elliot Friedman, he's a bit of a prick. And that's what you need there in Ottawa to get those guys a bit more accountability. Like, I think they got away with a lot too much with DJ Smith. And then, of course, Jacques Martin is not exactly the kind of guy who's going to, you know.
He's 70, bro. What are we doing?
He's like a grandpa in one ear, yeah, out the other. But yeah, Travis Green, more defensive coach, still get things sorted. Interested to see where here comes the Jacob Chychrun market again for seems like forever. Where is he going to go? But yeah,
send him to Detroit and be done with it.
Seems like a cheap hire. I can understand Sensen's frustration if you're looking at it superficially. But no, I think that he'll be fine. I'll be betting him for Jack Adams next year.
Yeah, that's not.
They're still not making playoffs.
It's a good hire because the Sens, they have pieces. They've been expected to, you know, take the next step for at least a year or two now. They have the pieces: Tkachuk, Stützle, Pinto, Norris, if he can stay healthy, Sanderson, defensively, Chychrun, Chabot, all those other guys there. So they have the pieces. Yeah, as you said, they have to get a goalie, which is their issue, because they have Corpusello under contract through 2028, Anton Forsberg through next year. So maybe they make a trade for a goalie. But yeah, I think they're going to have some activity around Ottawa this offseason to get out some of the players that they maybe don't believe in, get some more veteran professional players. So yeah, you know, the Atlantic Division is always going to be tough. Maybe I don't know who they could potentially usurp for a playoff spot. I guess Tampa, but we've been saying that for a while now, and I can't bet against them to miss the playoffs. So, yeah, sends this is going to be a step in the right direction. But until they show something, you can't really believe in them too much.
People
better hire Travis Green or Lindy Ruff for the Sabres.
Travis Green. 100%.
Oh, Travis Green.
Let's go. We're all agreed then. Finally.
One more tidbit to add. Take this with a grain of salt, if you will. Travis Green did play 2 years with Walter Keith Tkachuk in Phoenix back in like the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe. I'm not saying that's, you know, a big deal, but I'm just saying there's some family ties there. From all accounts, they were pretty buddy-buddy with the Tkachuk families, and obviously with Brady being the captain.
So you're taking back your take that Brady will ask for a trade this offseason?
I hope so. I hope he does. I really do. Marner for Tkachuk, one for one. What was that? I think that Tkachuk will become a better player under Travis Green than he is more likely to have been under the likes of a DJ Smith or anybody else that's been behind that bench there in Ottawa. So, hell yeah. I think it'll be a successful relationship, if you will.
What do you think is going to happen with Sheldon Keefe? I know there's Craig Berube rumors. I mean, if this is still too raw, we can wait on this. But it's
no, we can do this if you thoughts. Want. Oh. Okay, this is going to sound asinine, and hear me out here. Was Sheldon Keefe out-coached this playoff round? What do you think? I don't think really. He was.
No.
I think he did an excellent job of neutralizing David Pastrnak and Brad Marchand for the most part. I don't think those guys were as effective as you would have thought that they would be heading into the series. I think Sheldon Keith probably had the best coaching year that he's ever had in the NHL. Man, this is a good coach. I'm not talking about the playoffs right now, but look at the injuries on this team. This is the team that was riding a third string goalie for about maybe what 15-20% of this league and Martin Jones, and they prospered. This is the team that had defensive injuries and defensive suspensions, and they still coached them to excellency in the regular season. This is a team that had, you know, offensive struggles as well. Mitch Marner was not great out the gate. Obviously, Matthews and Nylander picked up on that, and still Keith managed to get the best out of these guys. The real question is, what changes do you make with this team? Okay. From all the accounts of it, Keith Pelly has announced he's the new president of MLSC, that he's going to be obviously having a management, you know, meeting interview, I guess, or media fucking press conference on Friday. And who will be attending that is Keith Pelly, Brendan Shanahan, and Brad Tree Living. So that right there tells you that Brendan Shanahan is not going anywhere. He's going to be still in the fold. Keith Pelly is not firing Brendan Shanahan. That's why the hell would he be doing media with them on Friday? So what do you do, man? Do you turn over the coach? Do you turn over the players? What's your option here? The easiest option to be would be to get rid of the coach, all right? And the reason why there's a lot of people saying, oh, Hockman hasn't already been done right now, Sheldon Keefe was inducted into the Brampton Sports Hall of Fame yesterday. So I think that if they were intending on fire him, the Leafs had a little bit of consideration as to that. Also, I think Gary Bettman, rumors, he put out a memo saying, let's try and keep activity down on the draft, the lottery draft day. We don't want to steal the show from that. Now, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen tomorrow. Personally, this is going to sound biased. I'm a Keefe guy. Who out there is better? Like, I'm sorry. I know that, like, Sheldon Keefe isn't a bad coach. I'm sorry. I know a lot of people just like to shit on him. If he leaves the Leafs, he'll go and he'll have success somewhere else. There's 18 coaches in the NHL that have turned over this year. 19, if you include Rick Bonus, is retiring. There's going to be a room out there for Sheldon Keefe. You know, you look at a guy like Jay Woodcroft. Yes, obviously, there's more experience there. Craig Berube, tons of more experience at Stanley Cup. I understand that. Are any of those guys that much better than what we've seen that Keefe has gotten out of this team? Maybe. Maybe they are. Is it substantially enough to get rid of him? I don't know if it is, man. But I don't know. The Quenneville factor, that's the thing. If you could get Joel Quenneville, I'd be all in on that. But I just personally, myself, and I imagine Keefe is probably going to get let go. I don't know if it's the right decision to do that, I guess. I feel like there's that the changes have to be made from either above him or below him. It's either you get rid of Shanahan or you get rid of fucking one of the players. But if all you do is get rid of Keith, is that really substantial? Like, to me, no, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point there. And just looking at that, like the cap friendly situation, and this won't happen. I know Marner is the guy that if anyone gets traded, it'll be him. I'd trade Tavares. Bring Domi back, put Domi as a second line center, get a third line center that can kind of be a second line guy and use that cap space somewhere else. I know goaltending is going to be an issue. Both Samsonov, I guess they have Wall. Wall probably be at least the
you can't
the 1B
trust them,
at
man.
The very least. He can still be, you can rely on him as a backup and you bring in like a guy to be a 1A and you go with a tandem, whatever. But yeah, Marner's, I know he did not show up in the playoffs. He kind of, but I think he was really hurt still from his ankle injury. I think he was slowed down from that. And I don't know if things going to come out about that or if it would have come out by now, but I'm looking at these four Mitch Marner trades that the Maple Leafs could consider on Sportsnet. One of them is for the fourth overall pick and Kent Johnson. Like they're not going to do that. One of them's for Shane Wright and Adam Larson. Like, I don't see that happening. One of them's with the Flyers for basically Scott Laudon and Mario Ferraro. Like, that's not going to happen. I don't know. I don't know what they should do. I don't think they should fire Keefe. I think he's done a decent job. He's done a good job. It's the players either, or you get rid of Shanahan and you try to build the team around the core differently. I think Keefe would just be the fall guy, which is typically what happens with these teams that underperform as the coach goes, but I would be surprised if he goes.
Jolie, get in, buddy. Just let it fly. Let's do this. Come on, let's do this.
it's the roster construction. It all comes down to Kyle Dewis and then Lou Lamoriello to begin with. He's not exactly 0%. He's not entirely blameless. So, yeah, you can't win a cup with 50% of your cap structure around three, four guys, and they're not clutch playoff performers. You can make excuses now with Nylander missing the few games and Matthews getting hurt. Whatever.
But nobody is. Nobody at this point, and like Langell, sort of interrupt you, there is no Leaf fan worth his salt that is making an excuse that we lost is because of injury. Where we're at right now, it's either you fucking find a way to get it done or you don't, and they haven't. So you're right. The roster construction, you're 100% right. You cannot win with these four players. Not to say you can't win with any four players making that much money, but with these four players, you cannot win.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes down to the blue line. The blue line suffers for that roster construction. There's not enough back there, like behind Morgan Rielly, like TJ Brody fell off a cliff this year, and there's nothing else. I mean, they stood up better against the Bruins than I expected. I thought that they'd be turning the puck over more. I don't think they're great playmakers or anything. They're not giving the offense any juice, but at least they're not, you know, giving even pucks away all the time like I expected. But at the same time, there's just not a lot going on behind the star players. When they're not performing, you're actually getting a lot from Max Domi. I thought he was really good. Tyler Bertuzzi was up and down. But yeah, if those guys aren't scoring, the team isn't winning, and that's hard to overcome.
The premise of what you said, we're both talking about the same thing. You're right. The fact that they had that defense play as well as they did without having that much money invested to them, that's part of the mindset, is to plug and place these guys. But it means nothing if you're only scoring 12 goals in 7 playoff games. Like, if you're spending all that money on offensive firepower,
like they scored,
they have
scored goals.
They have gone 14. They have gone 14 playoff games without scoring, and they've only scored more than 3 goals one time. That's unacceptable,
most,
man.
Like, most of those are just one or two. It's not like they're scoring 3.
Yeah. They've only scored 3, one of them. It's 2. Like, it's simply unacceptable, dude. Like, that's what it comes down to, man. And I'm so sorry. Like, you're not going to listen to me yell. I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to bitch and moan here because I've done all that on this show, and I'm sure people don't want to hear it. I'm sure some people love listening to me suffer. I'm sure it's a happy medium of both. But what it comes down to with this team, man, there's no fucking hatred of losing. I've said this so many times. Look at guys like McKinnon. It eats them up to lose. Kucherov, it eats them up to lose. You Marchand. Dream about it. You sleep about it. You fucking Marchand. Same thing. Exactly. Same thing, man. And this team just doesn't seem to have that. Like, it's mind-numbing. And okay, I'm sorry. I got to go into Marner right now, okay? Mitchell Marner is going to go down as the most disappointing Toronto Maple Leaf story of all time. And that is not because of his performance. This guy's numbers will arguably be some of the best numbers in the history of the Leafs and the history of the NHL by the time his career is said and done. But the thing is, when it comes to Mitch Marner, man, this guy doomed himself after his second goddamn year in the NHL. It's as simple as that. After his second year, he shot himself in the fucking face when it came to this franchise, all right? Everybody knew Mitch Marner coming out of the draft as this happy-go-lucky kid, you know, this happy guy. He's buzzing around. He's fun. He's a funny individual. All the talent in the world, all the skill. And that's great. That's what we knew about Mitch Marner. But then look what happened. After Auston Matthews signed his first contract, it was like, what was it, 5 years at 11, whatever million dollars it was. That very day, Mitch Marner's agent, Darren Ferris, called up Dave Fezchuk and the Toronto Sun to do a one-on-one interview and said, this is the greatest contract in the league for a player. I'm absolutely unbelievable. Matthews is getting paid so much money here, and Mitch Marner will be sure to get his. And in that contract, he made a point saying Mitch Marner already gave a lot to the Toronto Maple Leafs by not taking Class B bonuses in his rookie entry-level deal, which, if you look, was signed by Lou Lamoriello, and Lou Lamoriello hasn't gave a single player in his career Class A and B entry-level bonuses except for Auston Matthews because he was the first overall pick and he deserved it. And by the way, those Class B bonuses equate to a maximum of $2 million. Let's face it. So that was the narrative that came out the day Auston Matthews signed his contract. And as Leaf fans, we were like, huh, that's kind of an asshole thing to say. That's kind of fucked up. Like, we're all fired up. And this is literally months after the whole William Nylander missing half a season saga because he was sitting out. So contract negotiations were already fresh in Leaf's mind. And you know what, man? The Marner camp, which consists of his agent and his parents primarily at that time, because we all know they were heavily involved, I think that they knew that at that time, Mitch Marner could do no wrong. So if we get this out in the media, Leaf fans would be like, oh, hell yeah, Marner needs to get paid too. It was the opposite. We all said, that's kind of fucked up that you're saying this about your buddy, you know, the first time he got it. And don't tell me that this is just his agent, all right? Because agents are employed by the players. So there's no way an agent comes out and says anything without the player's consent, or at least the player's camp's knowledge of this. And if you really wanted to make it not happen, it wouldn't have happened. So that's where the downfall started, okay? And that's where the Marner contract negotiations got so fucking ugly. This was a guy saying, oh, you know, yeah, I'm just going to leave this all to my agent. And then his agent's like, yeah, we'll probably just skip next year. We're going to go play in Zurich. How well does that go over for the Leafs franchise? It doesn't. So his reputation went from the very top. And keep in mind, this is a guy that lived and grew up in the market and knows what it means to this fan base. And he just fucking flushed it all down the toilet after that, man. He really did. And ever since then, it's been ridiculous. You've looked at him in the media the past couple of years since loss. He's like, you know what? It's time for me to be more serious, more of a man. Well, you know what? You're not. That's like us coming on the podcast and being like, random for people that have listened to us for the past 3 years and been like, oh, we're going to be sober and we're going to be serious about everything and all this. And everybody that's been around for the longest time will know that it's an act. It's bullshit. We're full of shit. Like, it is. And that's what we're seeing with Mitch Marner when he does his interviews, man. And he is the worst goddamn interview because of it. All he does is, oh, snubby this and blaming the media for that. And, oh, I know the media likes to spin stories. Mitch, the fucking Toronto Maple Leafs and the MLSE is owned collectively by 75% is owned by the fucking Toronto media. You have Rogers, which owns fucking Sportsnet, and you have Bell, which owns TSN. Those two collectively have 37.5% shares in MLSC for a total of 75% shares. The media that you are ripping on that says is so bad for you and wants to kill you and fucking put you down is literally the owners of the team, people paying your paychecks. There is nobody in the world that wants to see Mitch Marner have more success than Rogers or Bell Media because it means their goddamn share prices go through the roof. So don't come at me with this, oh, the media is always so hard and trying to spin it, this and that. It's not true. You have a couple assholes who are still writing tabloid papers like Steve Simmons, and you got those nerds in The Athletic that are doing their analytics shit that nobody's paying to read anymore anyways because it's all dumb. And realistically, the NHL is kind of starting to step gradually into a place where it seems like a lot of those analytic-based companies are kind of starting to trend down a little bit, which is a good sign, but that's a story for another day. But don't come at me and say, oh, the media. You know who the media does things for? The media does things for the fans. Okay. The media gets these stories and this information and these one-on-one interviews with you after games, after practice. So people like me, people like everybody else can hear your point of view. And would it kill you for once to just be honest about something? Would it kill you to just sit here and say, like, after this game, you said, oh, yeah, you know, there's a lot of, we're so close, we're close to this. Would it kill you to just sit there and be like, as a kid that grew up in this market and dreamed to wear this logo on my chest, this is heartbreaking. We can't get over the hump. I didn't have a great series, and it breaks my heart, and I'm going to think about it every goddamn day in the summer, and it's going to drive me nuts. That's all we want to hear. That's all we want to hear is, I feel like I let you down, because he did. That's all we want in this city, man. And all we get is, oh, the media is so hard in this. Oh, we're so close. Oh, this and that. We're not asking for the world, man. We're just asking you for to be yourself and to be realistic. And then, I'm sorry, the God comment. We're gods in this city. We're gods in this city. It's hard because we're gods. Mitch, you're not gods, Mitch. You're a hero in this city, okay? We don't look to you as a god. We look to you as a hero. And you know what? For the most part, since you guys have came in, we felt safe at night. The streets are safe. There's no bad guys roaming around. You've done a good job for the most part of the year. Through most of the years, you keep us safe and we're happy and we're good. There's petty crime is down in the city. But every April, when that really bad villain shows up to our city and he's causing havoc and our city's in turmoil and there's a bus full of school kids that are about to be pushed off a bridge, or, you know, the main girl is kidnapped, we look for you to save us. You're a hero. And every year you let us down. Nobody saves the girl. The bus full of kids is pushed off the cliff. Our city is left burning. And when the big, bad, evil villain moves on to the next city, you go back to the Batcave and you got all your money and you got all your powers. And it's us, the fans, the citizens that are left to rebuild our city, to put out the fires and try to create new hope. And after 8-9 years of the same goddamn thing, maybe it's not a surprise when the citizens of Gotham over here decide that, hey, maybe we want somebody else trying to save our city. You're not a god, bud. You're a fucking hero, and you're a bad one. So it's heartbreaking when you hear stuff like that, man. Like, it really is. That's where we stand as Leaf fans here. Like, and you know what? Maybe it is time for him to go. I'm sorry.
That was good. Crying that was right
good. Now. Yeah. I don't know how anyone can listen to this podcast and say a negative word about you, because that was absolutely well-spoken and beautiful, Talon.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, I listen to I'm not JD. Drunk. I listen to... And they're fucking this, fucking that, fucking Mitch. Yeah. Yeah, I listen to JD Bunkus a lot, like this time of year during my little Schadenfreude tour of listening to Toronto Tears. But he made a good point about Mitch Marner, like with his gods comment. Like, he was asked, what does it mean to be a Maple Leaf? And he's like, we feel like gods, we're treated with reverence here. But what he should have said, according to JD Bunkus, and I agree, is that he's a Toronto boy, like Ontario boy, and he loved the Maple Leafs as a kid. He should have gone back to a memory of being like, I dreamed of being in this sweater. I dreamed of playing for this team. I want to, you know, live up to this crest and something like that, instead of just like making it personal. Like, oh, we're treated like awesome people. Like, that feels great, of course. And so, yeah, but from a betting perspective, you gotta, yeah, you know, sad, but true. But the Leafs are chokers. Hurricanes are chokers. That's why I fade these teams until they prove me otherwise. And yeah, they got to shake things up. I think they will this year. I'm pretty sure Marner's gone. Keefe's gone. We'll see how that affects things. But from now on, yeah, I'm still going to fade the Leafs.
I think they're going to run it back, man. Oh, I'm not joking. Can you believe it? I'm not joking. I honestly think they're going to run it back.
That's a dream. The rest of the division.
But if that happens, then, like, I don't want to hear another bad word about Kyle Dubas ever again, because this is all on Shanahan, and it always has been. So if that, I'm just saying, if they go into next year without any changes and all they do is fire the coach, you know who's been the real one calling the shots this entire time. Because with all due respect, before Mitch Marner's fucking no move clause kicked in last year, he was out the door. And then a day after that comment was made, the guy that made the comments was fired. So, I don't know. Enough about the Leafs. Thank you for entertaining me, boys.
Final note. Just bringing something up. Ken Barkley, you know, I look at him for stuff with the historical parameters, like the condition of teams winning. Most of the time, it's actually a new coach that wins the cup, or it's somebody who's been there and done that before. So if you keep running back with the same coach again and again, they typically do not do well. Like Jared Bednar is one of the few examples of success. You know, John Cooper is another one. But generally speaking, it's usually a new voice in the room, gets the guys going, and they go on to win the cup. Or somebody who's been there, done that, like a Babcock or somebody like that.
Great. How to throw that guy in.
Oh, yeah. If they keep Keefe, then that's another reason to fade the
Leafs. All right. Anything else you want to add here? We're going a little long for playoffs.
No, yeah. We got
it's third intermission. Period. I got time now.
Well, we got third period. Bruins-Panthers about to start. And then we got Oilers-Canucks in about half hour. So we can.
What's the score of that game? I haven't been watching.
3-1.
3-1.
Okay. I saw Joel go to celebrate, and I forgot he was rooting for the Panthers. I thought he was one of those Boston people. So I checked the score, and I was like, okay, 3-1.
Yeah,
right on. All right, well, everybody, go check out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website. That's the place to be. Tons of stuff in the world of sports. We got hockey. You know, NFL draft was a thing too. That was a lot of fun. I'm sure you guys enjoyed that. Joel, you make a lot of money. That was good.
Fucking right.
All right, we picked a big ogre, fucking 6'8".
Yeah, we haven't heard your commentary on that. I know you did. Yeah. I know you wanted a receiver.
Yeah, you know.
It was always going to be an offensive line.
I know. Jim Harbaugh's team, obviously. You're right, 100%. And we got Ladd McConkey in the second round. Yeah. And we got the Rice Boy, too, in the seventh round. That was a nice little. Rice Boy. Brendan Rice. He's the son of, what's his name?
Jerry Rice?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I think so. He's the son of someone. I forget who. Whatever. Let's go Bolt Up, baby. It's charged. Right. Cameron Dicker's birthday yesterday, so shout out Cameron Dicker. She got my Dicker jersey. Yeah. So that's cool. Other stuff, soccer, obviously, is big with Joel. Baseball, Ryan, what's up? Everything good?
Yeah, Phillies think still have the best record in the league. So, yeah, everything's going great, baseball.
Cool. Right on. So yeah, tons of stuff in the world of sports. You can find all that information at the SGPN website. Be sure to go check it out. That's the place to be. Read the articles, listen to the other shows. Everyone kills it. I haven't been on in a while, so shout out my boy Jeff Fox. He's absolutely awesome. MMA podcast is sweet. What else is going on? Discord. Shout out to all our friends and pals in the Discord. If you want to get in the Discord, fuck off and stop posting parlays in the Discord. But if you want to get in there, by all means, go ahead and do it. You can reach out to myself or Ryan on Twitter. We'll be sure to point you in the right direction. Or you can reach out to the HGP Twitter account. Social media assistant producer will tell you everything you need to know. He's a beauty. He'll get you going there. Or what you can do is just look for the happiest guy in Vancouver, baby, because you'll see the big old smiley Joely, happy that cherry blossom season is over and he doesn't have to yell at a bunch of people for being on his fucking lawn all the time. And overall, he's looking like he's in a pretty good mood today. So that's good enough for me, baby. He'll tell you how to get in the Discord after he gives you a little kiss on the cheek because he's a happy boy.
Yeah, I'm feeling better now that Elias Pettersson is probably going to start this game. A little bit of concern over an illness. People are speculating. You know, it's kind of like parallel to the Leafs with Austin Matthews. Is it injury? Is it illness or whatever? But Pettersson should be good to go. Hopefully, plays better than he did versus the Predators.
Yes, interesting. All right, everybody. My name is Talon Jenkins. You can find me at Talon_Jenkins94. Let's go Toronto PWHL women's team. We're bringing home. Was it the Isabel Cup? I don't know. Let's bring this baby back home where she belongs. We need something going on in this city. And pour one out for my Argos because we are fucked this year.
I'm Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
I'm Joel Meyer. You can find me lamenting the death of my Nugs to the fucking hated Minnesota Timberwolves. You know, I don't really care about the Timberwolves, but you know, a lot of Wild fans are also Timberwolves fans, and I hate it when they are happy, so that's another reason to let's go Celtics. That's the way. Just get it done. Just fucking chalk all the way.
From what I saw, you love ex-Minnesota Wild players more than a lot of people might know. I just saw a picture, though. I don't know if that's true or not, but what I saw, you had a pretty big grin on your face and you're eagerly awaiting what happens next.
Yeah, fill my tuck up.
All right, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. Aram 1. Good to be back. Peace.
Aram 1.